This episode of TMS is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your business, tech, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. And by Sock Club, delivering a perfect gift experience for sock lovers in your life. Go to sockclub.com/TMS and get 15% off using discount code TMS at checkout. That's sockclub.com/TMS and the code TMS. Coming up on TMS. Those Wendy's rumors are true.
Understanding the Canadians.
Don't watch that at 2 a.m.
Walmart, Watermelon Gate.
Yeah, the price of virginity went up.
Who's this Fairy McFairyface?
Hopefully not the virgin. Hey, parents, you have a couple of troublemakers there.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When you have completed this video, you will be able to navigate within the desktop. Use the keyboard, mouse, icons and taskbar. Connect to your internet server. Navigate through your internet provider's homepage.
Look, you can see the blood.
I thought that was your blood. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Thursday, November 16th, 2017. It's 10.07 a.m. in the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett in tow. Hello.
Hello. And I just looked ahead to some of the top of the show stuff, and I'm dreading. I'm absolutely dreading item number two.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though, because it features a good friend of ours, and you'll see that here in a second. It's pretty good.
Oh, God, I'm dreading it. Totally dreading it. But, okay, good.
All right. Some time ago on the show, we had a listener or somebody in the chat or somebody who worked at Wendy's. I don't remember how we got this information. Do you remember who told us this?
Well, somebody had told it to me completely separate from the show, like years before I even started the show. I think it was a coworker who's a guy I'm now doing freelance for, who owns a software company in Boulder, Colorado, that was a competitor to the software company that I worked at. He worked there too. Mm. He left, started his own competitor. The competitor's still doing great, while the one I worked at is gone and dead.
Sure. He took some good ideas and made his own deal.
It's an awfully lot of information that nobody probably wanted to hear.
It's not as connected to Wendy's as you'd think, but I still enjoyed it. Now, he used to work at Wendy's. That was his deal, right?
No, he just knew. Maybe he knew somebody who worked at Wendy's who gave him the information, but as far as I know, he never worked a fast food day in his life. And I think that you know, that's something that everybody should experience. I think you should work fast food for at least 6 months.
I agree. I think that's a quality way to man up and woman up. You know, you got to level up and you got to learn what it means to do hard, sweaty, smelly work. I think that's a good thing. I did the same. So somebody in the chat room then, after we told that, confirmed, oh yeah, I worked at Wendy's and we totally did this. Then we found
Said what the thing is that
No. I'll get to that. But so when people go to Google and search for this, they're also finding instances of it, and it seems to be confirmed there. Well, I have confirmation, ladies and gentlemen, that if you get chili at Wendy's, they absolutely, the meat that is in the meat and bean chili they sell is absolutely leftover burger meat.
Right.
And not some special only for the chili meat. It is straight up ripped from the burgers. Now, how do I know this? I sent Brian a photo yesterday to prove this. In fact, I bet I have it here so I can show the chat.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great photo.
In the bottom. Okay, now, first of all, you're saying to yourself, Scott, you got chili at Wendy's? What are you
doing?
There
we go. Okay, good. I'm glad you're getting to this early, because I was going to let you show the photo when we talk about that whole thing, and then I'd circle back around to... Now, let's take a step back and examine your life choices.
Exactly. And I wouldn't blame you.
Buying chili at Wendy's, I would say, is akin to buying a hamburger at Del Taco.
Right. Right. I would agree with you. So I would normally not get this. This isn't anything I'm interested in.
You pull up to a fast food drive-thru menu and say, what is the worst? Hey, welcome to Wendy's. Can I take your order? Yes. What's the absolute worst thing you serve that you guys have absolutely no right to charge money for? As a matter of fact, you should be paying me to take.
Yeah.
That'd be our chili.
Would you like? You like that? I'll get you some chili. Yeah.
Two orders, please.
You're not wrong. Now, this photo I have up in front of the chat right now. They can see this on their screens. And Brian's got it on his text. It is definitive proof that they put old burgers in their chili. As you can see, it's like a whole half a burger in there.
It really is. It is. It's seriously, you know, the origin story of that burger is that Lumpy McGinnis is sitting there at the grill, working mm-hmm. the grill,
yep.
and accidentally breaks a burger in half.
Yeah.
Well, can't serve it. I guess I'll put this in the chili.
Yeah, the chili bin that later gets all mushed up. Yeah. And nobody ground it up. Nobody, you know, made it into a smaller thing. It was this giant hunking piece of beef. So those listening just to the audio podcast, it's like half a burger cut in half, maybe slightly less than half, in the bottom of my little chili bowl. Now, you're saying, Scott, why the chili?
Right.
I didn't order chili. What I ordered was a salad. I ordered a taco salad.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's what the taco salad is at Wendy's. I could not be more disappointed to report this, by the way. It is just lettuce and a little bit of cheese.
Yeah.
Okay. Inside of a little sealed thing, you lift up the top and there it is. There's nothing else going on in there. In the bag with you, you are given, and I didn't know this when I left, a little cup bowl of chili, mm-hmm. as stated before. That's in there. And then included in there is a little bag of sort of pre-manufactured tortilla looking chips, round ones, but not good ones. Okay.
Right. Oh yeah, no. They're stale.
They're terrible.
And they're half of them are broken into middle fragments.
Yeah, they're bad. And then you have a little bowl that with a peel top that says salsa on there. But really what it was like thick tomato paste. It was not really salsa in any sort of
right.
way.
Right. Right.
And I am, I guess, supposed to make that. Oh, and two little packaged sour cream packet things.
Oh, sure. Little squeeze out sour cream deals. Sure.
Right. And they were cold, so I could.
Is that for the chili or for the salad? That was for the
I
salad?
I don't know. At the bottom of this, story is this big piece of confusion I have.
Because the salsa is definitely for the salad.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess the sour cream makes sense. It's a taco salad, and you know it totally makes sense that you would do that with the salsa.
But the salsa it's not even like salsa. It was like you say, it's like this thick tomato paste. It was like
sure.
Not. I would never put that on lettuce ever in my life.
No. All right. As a service, was there ground beef in the bottom of the salad?
No meat in the salad at all.
So it was really just they intended you to have salad, salsa, and sour cream as a taco salad.
And chips, the tortilla, I guess. Chips. And I think, now here's where this is where the confusion comes in. I think the chili was not a mistake and they gave me chili. I think I'm supposed to pour that on the salad.
Oh, sure. Well, that's weird.
It's really, really weird.
Wendy's taco salad. All right. As a service, by the way, to you and our listening audience. Yeah, here we go. Wendy's taco salad is iceberg and romaine lettuce topped with the chain's signature chili, diced tomatoes, and shredded cheddar cheese. Tortilla chips, sour cream, and salsa come on the side to add as you will.
The chili came on the side too, then?
Yes, so the chili was intended to be poured on your salad.
Ugh. What are they...
All right.
What are they talking about? That's crazy. Why would I do that?
Here, grab a... Maybe you need a sticky note, and we're going to go through... When you're craving a blank, you should go to blank. All right? When you're craving an X, you go to Y. Let's play this game here.
Okay.
Scott, when you're craving a taco salad,
yeah,
you should go to Taco Bell.
Oh.
It's actually one of the better Taco Bell things you can get.
Okay. They make a good salad, you're saying?
They do make a really good taco salad. It's got beans. It's got beef. You can get shredded beef in there, chicken, whatever. All the ingredients are already on there except for salsa, and the salsa's good. You pour it on top. Mm. All right, good. All right. So
okay.
When you're craving a taco salad,
Taco Bell.
And this is all fast food stuff. This is all, you know.
Right, we're keeping it in
really
the realm.
If you're really craving a good taco salad,
yeah.
Even fast casual, I would go to Qdoba or Chipotle before I went to Taco Bell if I was craving a taco
salad. Right, they're just far away, so I couldn't get to those. I mean, I could have, but I'd drive a long time. I didn't want to.
All right, if you are craving a hamburger, Scott, I'm going to give you several choices here. Should you go to A, Del Taco,
yeah.
B, Wendy's, uh-huh. or C, Freddy's Steak Burgers and Frozen Custard.
Freddy's Steak Burgers and Frozen
very,
Custard.
Very good. Okay, that was kind of a gimme, but
it's like 25-minute drive. Like, But that being said, there were plenty of other options that are just as good for burgers near me. There are plenty of other options. Like the salads at Chick-fil-A are pretty good. And that's far from me. That's right down the same road.
You almost can't go wrong with anything at Chick-fil-A. Now, if Chick-fil-A sold a hamburger, I would say, don't get the hamburger at Chick-fil-A because their specialty's chicken. You should really stay with the chicken.
I agree. All right. Everything you're saying makes sense. Here's the thing I've noticed this week, and this is important to note. Obviously, every day since Kim left, I've had a fast food story.
Yes.
And it's not because I'm fishing for them, guys. It's because it turns out when you go get fast food, weird shit happens. It just happens, and it gets weird. So,
It could be chalking up to maybe being a little bit of both.
A little of both, sure. But I didn't wake up yesterday thinking, man, I sure hope I can have a nightmare experience at Wendy's. It was not good. It was bad. Like, the food was bad. The lettuce stuff was lilted. The thing had a half a burger in the chili. There's no way I'm pouring that on anything. I kind of ate some of the chili, but by the time I got to that beef slab, I went, uh-oh, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. Could you imagine just dropping that chunk of beef on your salad? I mean, that's just as bad as eating it as chili. And they call that Wendy's signature chili.
Uh-huh. Signature.
Yeah, that's signed in purple crayon is what signature that is.
Signed in blood and misery. And also Dave Thomas, all right, founder of Wendy's.
Sure, in his old-fashioned hamburger.
Yeah, he's laying in his old-fashioned coffin right now in an old-fashioned gravesite somewhere in old-fashioned middle America.
His coffin with a bunch of discarded meat chunks.
Yep, that's where they throw them when they don't
make it Dave's chili.
I don't think he would be happy about the state of Wendy's right now. I don't think Wendy's is what it used to be. Not even close. You know, it's okay. The burgers are all right, but it's not what it used to be. It used to be this fresher place. Everything they handed you was hot out of the window there. Now it's just not like that. It's sloppy and it's shitty.
I would say of all the fast food chains, Wendy has fallen the furthest. McDonald's has kind of always been what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, you gotta pat them on the back for being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Burger King, probably a similar situation. I mean, things have kind of shrunk. Their Whopper is probably no longer a real Whopper.
It's less Whoppery, yeah.
It's less Whoppery. But Wendy's...
at least Wendy's McDonald's is consistent, right? McDonald's has always been what they are. Whether you like them or not, they've always sort of been the thing that they are.
Exactly. They, you know, they're a five, but the good news is they've always been a five out of ten. Wendy's, when they first came on the scene, I remember like thinking, wow, Wendy's is great. Oh my God, these Frosties are really good. Oh, these are terrific. But man, they've probably gone from like an eight down to a three.
Yeah, easily for me. So I'm done. I can't go to Wendy's anymore. And this is a brand new Wendy's, by the way. You'd think it'd be like, I don't know why I think this, but it should be like, you know, your best work. You just opened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to have your best people, your best deal, your best whatever, and your best adherence to franchise classics. And they just can't freaking do it. I should have gone to Del Taco or Taco Bell or a million other places yesterday. So I have great regrets. And here's the funny thing. When I left, I went, all right, I don't have a lot of time. I got to go get something quick. There was a bunch of stuff going on yesterday I had to deal with, so I thought, well, I'll just get something quick. Yeah, but I want a salad because I need to eat green things today is what I said to myself. I need to eat something better than freaking bread and meat and whatever crap I've been eating. And the one salad I get turns out to be nightmarish freaking... It was like one of those Saw movies. It's like, oh, this is the food you get to eat before you decide whose head gets cut off first. It was awful. It was awful.
So, all right, one last little test here. And this is a tough one because I'm expecting very, very different answers. We might even get some answers from the chat room. But you're craving French fries.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to give you choices on this one.
Okay.
When you're craving French fries, where do you go? Like, let's say you don't care what they come with, probably a burger or chicken sandwich or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's another one we should do, fish sandwich.
Mm. Oh, I never have a fish sandwich, but if I do, oh, boy, where would I go? Fish sandwich is hard. Fries is easy for me, though. I prefer fries baked. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the thing. I can't get there conveniently, but there's a place in the airport that bakes everything. So they have baked wings. They have baked fries.
That sounds awesome.
Not fried stuff. It's all baked. And I love baked things like that. Fries are my favorite thing baked. So I get those if I could. Now, as far as a fast food place, we'll keep it in that realm.
Yeah. All right, so let's start with fries first.
Okay, fries first.
I forgot about Culver's. We have a Culver's that's not too far from us.
Yeah, Culver's is all right.
I need to try Culver's Butterburgers, too.
For me, it's probably the Habit fries are real good. I think those are always crispy and light and not too greasy. And yeah, I'd go that way. And they're not far from me. And damn it, they have a good salad. What was I thinking yesterday? They have a good one,
right,
too.
Right. See? Yeah, and see, fries? Yeah, I mean, I like, I think McDonald's does fries okay. I kind of like, I don't really care for Wendy's fries. Good Times has really good fries.
Mm. Also,
because they've got the skin, the potato, like, you can tell they're fresh cut because there's potato skin on some of them.
Where's that char place you were just talking about before that we loved? Freddy's.
Oh, Freddy's, yeah.
Their fries are weird but good, really good.
Yeah, they are. It's those really thin ones that get nice and crispy, but they're not getting, don't confuse those puppies with steak fries.
No.
It takes like five of them to make one steak fry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One of those wants this for a whole episode. By the way, somebody in the chat room, let me find it. Scroll. Neva Fox found the Wendy's training video where they say, throw the broken burgers in the chili.
Oh my gosh, shut up.
We
for real?
We have to play this.
For real?
For real. Want me to copy and paste the link?
Put it back in the chat because I'm in the chat right now. So copy and then paste it at the bottom of the Twitch.
Right there. Just put it on the bottom.
Is there a timestamp? Is this the whole thing? It is a timestamp. All right. Hold on. This is great.
I love that it's wrapped.
It's a wrap, yeah. All right, here it goes. Here's see what we got. It's a big square patty on the screen. It looks like a turd. I'm not going to show it because sometimes YouTube blocks me when I do this, so I'm just going to play it.
Never serve a burger that's looking ratty, but if something goes wrong and your burger's not right, there's no need to get uptight. If the dry burger broken or incomplete, that baby turns into chili and me. Don't...
That's amazing.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
I want to watch that whole video later.
Who did that again? Who put that in the chat?
Neva Fox.
Neva Fox, send an email to scott@frogpants.com. I have a prize for you.
for providing us with the greatest thing we've seen all day.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well done. All right, definitive.
Oh, man. Can't wait to watch the rest of that. I'm bummed that we didn't get the first half of the couplet that ends with, if your burger's looking ratty. Because I'm sure it's something, pull out the frozen square-shaped patty.
Yeah. I bet I can find out. Let's see. Here goes.
Door. If they don't want cheese in your doubles plain, don't press them together. Just drain. Only serve a great-looking patty. Never serve a burger that's looking ratty, but...
We should have known it was a patty.
Yeah, I suspected.
Because what else would rhyme with ratty? Spatty, catty, matty, flatty, spatty. I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Peppermint.
So there it is. Chili's. Or not Chili's. Chili's is fine. Wendy's. Wendy's is a bad place to go. Until they fix themselves. I'm sorry, Dave. I like Dave.
Wendy's old face and hamburgers.
I agree. It's a good time back in the day, but today, I don't know, not so much now. Not so much.
I feel like Dave. I think we need a future TMS Film Fest is going to be come up with a rap, an old style 80s rap instructional video that just explains one thing, but you know, like has 30 seconds or 60 seconds of 80s rap.
I feel like that's a trend in the 90s that happened a lot, like with how to use the internet or how
to. Totally. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was a thing, and I feel like that needs to make a comeback. Let's get that happening in 2017. Let's try to describe why everyone you know is a sexual predator. Let's do that in rap form.
Take that hot dog, and to the rest you say, see ya, and wrap that baby in a fresh tortilla. Stick it in the microwave and cook it up.
Then eat it, put it in your mouth and throw it up. Beep, beep, doop, doop, doop. Pretty much.
Best thing ever. All right. Cool.
So also, yesterday was weird, and I have a story to tell, but I'll wait until it's time for me to tell it. Brian knows what's going on, but it was a rough day, and for various reasons, you've all been very nice on Twitter, wondering what was going on or being all worried, but it's cool. It's a thing we just have to work through. It's hard because Kim's not here, but long story, I'll tell you about it later. When I'm told, I can tell people about it. But here's the thing I did to try to sleep. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't go to freaking sleep.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, kids are long asleep. They're, you know, prepped for school for Nick, and Carter's got work in the morning, and everything's fine, and dog's put away, and doors are locked, lights are off, and I'm laying there, and I'm not doing any kind of video gamey, stimulating anything. I can't sleep. So I'm like, ugh. So I get up and I draw a little bit. And I put those up on Twitter. Those are, go and go see those at Scott Johnson if you want to see what I drew last night. Just, you know, grumpy guy smoking. I don't know what the other ones were. Just dumb art, right? And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I freaking can't sleep. I hate this. I'm going to watch a movie. So what do? I spin up. The first thing I see, which happens to be 3 hours long. Not only is it 3 hours long, it's the longest movie Quentin Tarantino made ever. The Hateful Eight, which I'd never seen. I hadn't seen The Hateful Eight yet.
Oh, really? Wow, I'm surprised because it's got a lot of the stuff you like. I mean,
it's a Western.
You know, it's a Tarantino Western. Mm-hmm. It's that solitude of kind of being trapped in one place. It's got your favorite German actor, Wolfgang McGillicuddy, whose name I can't remember.
Wait, he's not in that, is he? Is he in that? No.
Yeah, yes, he is. Totally is.
No, you're thinking of Tim Roth plays the British guy.
No, isn't, am I not?
Or you're thinking of Django. You might be thinking of Django.
Oh, maybe I am thinking of Django.
Yeah, I wish he was in that. Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he's not in that, unfortunately. I don't think it would have been a bad thing. He would have been great.
No, he would have fit in perfectly.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But yeah, no, Tim Roth's playing a very British person. He is British, but in this one, he's affecting a very British accent. But it's, that kind of movie, and it's super riveting, and I was way into it, and I think it's great. I usually wait to see Tarantino stuff, not in theaters. I don't know why. I just don't go to movie theaters for Tarantino movies, but there's some stuff in that thing, and I'll just say this. Well, A, it's the worst thing I could have chosen to try to go to sleep.
Right.
Right? Because there's just too much going on. I'm also now super fascinated by who's in it, and I'm looking all these things up, and I think Bruce Dern's amazing, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to see freaking Magic Mike in there. What was that about?
That's right, yeah. Channing Tatum, that right?
Or whatever. Yeah, he shows up. And that was cool. But the thing that really stuck with me, and I guess it makes sense because she got all those nominations, though, is Jennifer Jason Leigh is incredible in this.
Yeah.
Like, mind-blowing, revelatory performance. She's incredible in it.
She's someone who has just gotten better and better with age as far as, like, acting ability. Like, her stuff on Weeds a few years ago was great.
Yep.
Even
her voice stuff in Anna Monalisa was amazing. She's just great.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Anomalisa. Right.
I keep Anna Monalisa. I keep adding additional bits. But she's so good. Oh, my gosh. Every time she did anything, even just sitting there looking at something, even saying, can I play that old guitar over there? Like, just small stuff like that was like, oh, you're good. Keep talking. You're really good. And everyone's good. But she just outshone every actor in that movie.
I was trying to remember what I just saw in it, but it was Twin Peaks. She's she and Tim Roth, coincidentally, play hit people. Can't really say hit men, but hit people.
Oh, hit people.
And they are fantastic in that.
Yeah. Well,
she really likes Cheetos in that, or Fritos or Doritos or something in that show.
Because my only real memory of her, like, when I was younger, was like
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, I forgot she was in that. Yeah. I'm thinking of Single White Female is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Which had that guy from Wings in it, and I could never watch Wings again after that.
Why is he not walking around with a high-heeled shoe in his forehead?
Yeah, like that. Something about that movie really disturbed me. But the
of course, we enjoyed her in Existence.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That weird fleshy controller thing movie.
Right.
What a weird movie.
Right.
Anyway, so if you're looking for advice from me on what not to do at 2 a.m. to sleep, don't do that, because I didn't finally kind of nod off till about 4:30, 5 maybe, and then. By the time that happened, an hour later, I had to get up and help Nick. So I've got no sleep. That's what's happening today. No sleep. Don't know where this energy's coming from. Had a chai tea this morning. Ate a piece of bread with peanut butter on half of it. It's getting miserable, Brian. What I'm saying is Kim needs to get home. She needs to get home.
Did she get back tomorrow? Is that the deal?
Saturday. I need some normalcy in my life. She gets home Saturday afternoon or evening or something. I would really like to have her back in our lives.
Sure you would. She can't come back soon enough, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah. She anchors us in a way that is hard to describe. So anyway, that's what's been going on there. And finally, before we get to today's news, we got a full lineup today. News, Wendy, all that. Mm-hmm. Jamie made something special based on a very recent episode. This may have just been Monday, actually, that we did the...
3, 4, 5, 6, yeah.
Something like that. And... Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
It is, yeah, Monday.
And he wanted to showcase our vast knowledge of Canadian geography.
You know, and it's funny because he could have pulled from like 20 different episodes.
Yeah, this is nothing new. However, it is now cemented forever in history by this clip, and it involves a good friend of ours, so check it out.
And now, Scott and Brian try Canadian geography.
Oh, I assume Vancouver. The funny thing is, where's Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah, it's not. I think it's eastern. It's actually, this place is north of Portland, so that actually is appropriate. That is correct.
Okay, we're all just hippies.
Canadians, I am so sorry that we do not know that we can't readily pull out where your cities are.
I know where they are. You got Ontario's across the street from Toronto, right?
Right. Well, Toronto is a city in the Ontario province.
Okay, and then you got the French Canadian people over there in the, what's that called?
It's, Saskatchewan.
No, that's on the other side.
No, Saskatchewan's more central.
It's Quebec. Like north. That's what I meant. So you got Quebec. You got Quebec, and they're hanging out over there with some other Ottawa places. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing over there. We're not very. Listen, I mean,
Newfoundland over on the far east side. You got St. John, New Brunswick.
Sure. Where are the Trailer Park Boys? Are they east or west? I don't.
I should know that.
Oh yeah, Calgary. They got Flames.
They do, the Calgary Flames. Yeah. Yes. Oh, they're okay. So if the Trailer Park Boys are Halifax, yeah, then that's in the Nova Scotia part, which is east.
Ah, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're a mysterious race of people up there. I kid. I have a lot of Canadian friends and listeners. I'm joking. It's all a big joke. You're not a joke. We love you. You're great.
Sorry,
everybody.
All right. So I will cop to confusing Vancouver as being an East Coast city, but it's really as far West Coast as you can get. Mm. But I got it. You know, come on. Knowing that Toronto's in Ontario, I had to double check that just now because I'm like, did I screw that up? Is Toronto not in Ontario? But it is. Okay.
No, I think you were the more accurate of the two of us, without question. I really am bad at knowing what's going on up there.
Oh, my God.
And I like everyone in Canada. You guys are great. We have a lot of listeners up there. We have friends.
This is one of those things that could easily, like a little video could easily be made from, like a little map with, you know.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Pictures flopping on top of them. And
hey, Jamie, you got some free time.
Yeah.
Do some video versions of this stuff, man. Come on, get on it. We're ready for it. Our lives are ready. All right. Before we dive headlong into the news, the holiday season is right around the corner. You guys know that. Sock Club is delivering the perfect gift experience. Remind your loved ones that you care each month with a high-quality pair of American-made socks. That's right. Socks are sent straight to your door featuring different designs and a personal note every month that can be customized before each shipment. I like these socks a lot. Look, I'm not embarrassed to say it. I'm more comfortable now than I've ever been. I'm wearing them right now with this pair of Vans. And I'm not sure these Vans have ever been this comfortable. I think it might be because of the socks. Anyway, I really like it. Thrilled to receive them. I can't wait for you guys to do the same. Fresh, modern, classic designs. All made in the USA. Men's, women's, children's sizes available. Delivered once a month. And that personal letter explaining the story behind the sock comes each month as well. Gift subscriptions available, updated gift message each month, and free shipping anywhere in the U.S. So check it out. There's a package or a package deal or a month-to-month subscription available. Here's what I want you to do. Go to sockclub.com like me and Brian did and do this. Sockclub.com/TMS and get 15% off using the code TMS at checkout. So you got to use that code at checkout after using that URL. So again, that is sockclub.com/TMS and do it. Give a little reminder of your love every month. Give Sock Club today. It's the news brought to you by
the new 2018 art calendar, now available on the Frog Pants store. Get yours today at frogpants.com/store.
That is correct.
12 months of artwork.
Yeah.
12.
Yep. All stuff that I made. I made this. What's that? Whose show does that?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, which one was that?
Some producer. I made this.
Right. I can't remember.
I used to love those.
I remember Sit, Ubu Sit.
Yeah.
Ooh, good dog.
Good dog, right. And then you had the one from the guy that made all the Law and Orders where he would
pull the sheet out of the typewriter and it would flop down.
Yeah, and it was
Bochco.
Like...
Was that Stephen Bochco?
No, I think it was... shit.
All we do is make new crap for Jamie to edit down.
I know. You're right.
Oh, my God. This is really shouldn't be TMS. It should just be called Scott and Brian Poorly Remember Shit.
That's about right. Oh, here it is. Dick Wolf. I found it.
Dick Wolf. That's right.
Yeah, Dick Wolf. Yeah. Anyway, so I used to be a huge fan of that. Like, I always, when I was younger, I always thought, you know what I'm going to do when I grow up? I'm going to be the guy that makes the end credit or opening credit weird logos. Like, I wanted to be guy. Okay. Yeah, I did. So, like, when you see, what's the Ridley Scott one, the Scott Free Productions, and it's like that weird animated guy with a torch, and it's all, like, painterly, and he goes running down the corner or whatever.
He's running with it, and it turns, and, like, he looks like he's chopped out of iron or something.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I like that one. Stephen J. Cannell is the typewriter one.
Oh, okay. I got mixed up with Wolf.
Yeah, Fremulon, right.
I like the, it's a good show that you get now from...
right. What was the one, the Office ended with the two guys with the giant sombreros?
Oh, right. Right, and then doesn't everything Seth MacFarlane do end with have a very nice time or whatever? It's like a Spanish guy. Yeah, have a very good time, and he's waving.
No, doesn't he have a different one? It's
I can't think of what it is.
MacFarlane's. Anyway, what is his?
I'm so into that stuff. I used to love it. I used to wait for those. I used to be like less interested in the show that was ending and more interested in seeing. The thing, like the Bad Robot thing, or
Fuzzy Door Productions. That's right. That's what Seth is.
Fuzzy Door.
That's that weird, weird leopard print, bright fuchsia door.
Yeah.
Oh, I made this was Chris Carter's for the X-Files, is what Cinderholm says.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why I heard that recently, because Carter's been watching it.
Because he just watched it. Yeah. No kidding.
Also, one of my favorites is a Nickelodeon thing. I think it was Nickelodeon, but at the end of a lot of produced stuff over there, you get this three-eyed monkey, who would go. Hi, I'm Paul. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
No, that one I don't know.
Oh, I love the Hi, I'm Paul one. It's so good. And there's this kid in our neighborhood who's like, I don't know, he's probably 9, but his name is Paul. Paul Jr. His dad's name is Paul. And whenever I see Paul Jr., I go, hi. And he goes, hi, I'm Paul. We have this little thing. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome.
Anyway, I'm a big fan of that stuff. Hey, Walmart in the news. You like a little Walmart news?
I can't really say that I do, but okay.
Okay, now listen, if Brian
is... I'm not a huge Walmart guy.
All right, well, let me ask you a question about your shopping habits. If you are given the choice in the same... Let's say they're across from a freeway from each other. The Walmart's closer, but there's a Target over there. Do you go to the Target?
Absolutely.
Where you...
Okay. Yeah, Target's my go-to.
Okay.
Because Target here... You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, somebody, Dead Polymers, just put the DNA Productions with the three-eyed monkey in there in the chat room. Yeah.
Sorry.
Is that the noise the monkey makes?
You know, it's an O thing first. Here, let me play. I'll just play it since we're here. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Here we go. It's O Entertainment, and then the monkey.
Hi, I'm Paul.
There it is. And Paul has this three eyes. He's a three-eyed monkey. Anyway,
that's weird. No, but Target in Colorado is clean, nice, great looking stores. And I think it's the same in Utah. But boy, man, you go to West Coast, you go to California. Target is
a dump,
kind of dumpy. Yeah. Right. You walk in there and like you got a fluorescent light hanging down from the ceiling and another one is going bzz, bzz, and going you know flickering the floor is covered with clothes with hangers with little colored clips on them to tell you what size they are. It's a mess.
Yep. It's late November and they're selling candy corn at the biggest sale you've ever seen. Like even the Anaheim one I was just in, that one's kind of dumpy. It's kind of not a nice Target, but here and sounds like where you are, Target is way step above Walmart.
Yeah.
Like it's like a fancy, we call it Target here.
Right.
Because we're being all fancy about it. It's freaking, exactly. You know, it's a nice place to go. So that's interesting.
It's funny that where we are, Target is the Apple store, and where other people live, Target is the Dollar General.
Yeah, big time. Seattle is good, says Cinder Flame. A few other people
are talking about it.
All right. Anyway, this Walmart customer broke his hip buying a watermelon and is going to get $7.5 million for it.
Wow, I'd like to know how the watermelon broke his hip. You're carrying it wrong.
Well, it says here Walmart.
Lift with your legs.
Yeah, don't bend over. Go up. Walmart customer broke his hip while buying a watermelon back in 2015 is about to receive a huge payoff from the company. According to Al.com, the Alabama resident. Oh, Alabama. named Henry Walker is set to receive $7.5 million after he slipped and fell while reaching for a watermelon at a Walmart in Phoenix City.
Okay. So really, he could have slipped. Like, so it's just basically crap on the floor at Walmart that caused it. Not the watermelon itself.
Right. Like, sounds like it to me anyway. After the incident, Walker sued Walmart for negligence and wantonness. What does that mean?
Wantonness?
Wantonness.
I mean, I know what it, like, a wanton woman is, but...
I don't even know what that is. What does it mean to be wanton? What does it mean?
Like you know, promiscuous or sultry, sexy kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
But apparently the two different definitions of wanton, not to be confused with wanton, is a cruel or violent action, deliberate and unprovoked.
Okay.
And then... the second one, oh, in parentheses, thank you, Webster, especially of a woman, sexually immodest or promiscuous.
Ooh, all right then. It also says here that, you know what I picture is wontons everywhere. That's what I picture.
Yeah.
Walmart's just gotten out
of control. Some wonton soup, please.
Yes. And there's just so many here, I have to sue them.
Would you like it sultry or unprovoked?
Let's see. He told the court that when he was trying to help reach for a watermelon, his foot got caught in a wooden pallet on the floor, causing him to fall and fracture his hip. Walker's attorney, Shauna O'Hara.
Shauna O'Hara, I'll be your lawyer today.
Says the jurors were...
The judge is always trying to take me Lucky Charms.
Did you slip when you're trying to grab the watermelon, or did you already have it in your possession?
We'll settle for nothing less than $7.5 million and a bowl full of blue diamonds.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to win this case. We're almost to the end of me rainbow.
There's security footage at Walmart. They noticed multiple people have gotten their feet stuck in the pallet in the same way Walker did, although he's the only one that busted his hip. That helped the case a lot. When the trial was all said and done, the jury awarded him $2.5 million in compensatory damages, plus another $5 million in punitive damages. I don't know if that feels like it's too much to me. I don't know. Litigious stuff kind of rubs me two different ways, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, this guy's an Army veteran. I mean, obviously, this isn't a superfluous lawsuit, or a frivolous lawsuit, I should say.
No. It's just the payout is... ridiculous.
So, yeah, I mean, is he going to be able to play basketball with his friends? Because I see that as the end. He's an Army veteran who apparently played basketball with friends at least three times a week before the fall. He now has to use a walker to get around. Irony. that his name is Henry Walker.
Yeah.
O'Hara says he hopes the verdict will encourage the retailer to require pallet guards to be used in all locations.
Yeah, whatever. 7.5 seems like a lot of money.
Wow, but it's crazy that they said, you know, the security footage showed that a bunch of people had gotten their foot stuck in the pallet in the same way. So I'm guessing the pallet, like basically the watermelon sat on the pallet. Like it was a wooden pallet, big container, a bunch of watermelon in it, and people would step in there to reach in and grab a watermelon.
Yep.
And
they would trip or they'd get stuck.
Right,
and this guy broke his hip. Well, and enjoy your $7.5 million. Whatever, I think they're liable for sure. I just don't know if it's
that much. Yeah, 7.5. I don't know. I mean, it depends. Does he have to walk with a walker for a long time?
Yeah, and Sidian asks a good question. How much
permanent
do you
damage?
Says how much do you have to penalize Walmart for them to change a policy? And that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Maybe $7.5 million. But you know what? $7.5 million to Walmart is actually not much money at all. So this is kind of a weird two-way deal. On the one hand, it seems like a huge payout. On the other hand, for them, it really isn't.
Right. And, you know, curious to see how much of that actually goes to Henry Walker versus going to his attorney, right? Because that whole thing with the $5 million for the lady who had the hot coffee spilled on her at McDonald's, she only saw a couple hundred thousand of that, and the rest of it went to her attorney.
That's true. It probably the same case here. I'll be taking my part of the money now. I'll take me 38% and I'll leave. Goodbye.
And then burn it down. Get him, Daddy.
Get him. the dog's having a piss.
Big thanks to Taz the Man for reminding us that anytime we now do an Irish accent, it's got to include, get him, Daddy.
Let's see what else here. Oh, hey, a model. You remember that movie with Woody? Was it Woody Harrelson? And was it Woody Harrelson? Anyway, it was Demi Moore, yes. Robert Redford.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was an Indecent Proposal.
Yeah, and was the husband Woody Harrelson?
The husband was Woody Harrelson.
Okay, I'm remembering that right. Moore.
The buyer was Robert Redford.
And he was going to pay $1 million, not for her virginity, but for her to sleep with him.
Demi Moore, come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
That ship has long sailed in that movie.
Sure. But this model here that we're going to talk about today, who's only 19 years old, sells her virginity for $3 million to a businessman after beating a bid from a Hollywood actor, an unnamed Hollywood actor. Giselle is her name. It's not the Giselle that we all know from, like, big-time modeling, I don't think. Right? I hope not. No, she's older.
No. And she's way older than 19, Giselle. But Giselle Bundchen is her name, and she's... I want to say she's probably close to our age, like in her 40s.
Could be. Oh, and by the way, the Walmart thing real quick. The guy, the Walker guy, here's what you do with your $7.5 million. Let's say you only get $1 million of that and the rest went to your lawyer. Mm-hmm. First thing you do, hobble on down to the courthouse and change your name, your last name, to something that isn't Walker. Okay? Just some advice from me. Just a little advice from Scott.
Frank Shambles.
Yeah, there you go. Frank Shambler. Trippy McTrippy Pants. Giselle, age 19, was offered a huge amount of money from a businessman from Abu Dhabi who outbid an unidentified Hollywood actor. The third highest bid came from a Russian politician. Boy, it's just a great group of folks involved here.
No kidding.
The American model who put up her innocence for sale with Cinderella Escorts says she wanted to do it so she can pay for tuition fees and go traveling. She said, I would never have dreamt that the bid would be so high and we would have reached 2.5 million euros. This is a dream come true. Is it, though?
How is this not prostitution?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Because it's kind of blatant. Like, it's basically everything that prostitution boils down to right in one sentence. $3 million for my virginity.
It's just a higher paying John.
Right.
Than you would get normally on the street. I don't know. That's a valid question. I don't know how you get away with this. Also, I think that this isn't a dream come true. And here's what I'm saying. People want to do what they want to do. Fine. Do what you do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to judge you. But don't go into this thinking that $3 million is no big deal. Quick transaction. Wham, bam. Thanks. We'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets weirder than that.
I think so, too. Yeah.
$3 million? You don't get on the hook for $3 million for just a quick weekend with Jimmy.
That's right. He's not saying, all right, $3 million, how about just half an hour, I'll send you back on a plane. No, I would bank on a weekend of weird stuff.
Uh-huh. And listen, anybody willing to do that kind of bidding is in a weird place.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, not saying it because anything that has to do with who they are, where they're from, whatever, but anyone who's willing to pay $3 million just for someone's virginity, specifically for their virginity, not just for sex, but for virginity, is probably going to want to do some funny business.
I would say be careful, lady.
Yeah.
Just.
Why is there a tarp on the floor?
Also, I never believe. why is your T-shirt says Cleveland what on there? Here's
why they make T-shirts that say Cleveland Steamer. Is that what you're implying?
To celebrate the train and the tour you can take on it next time you're in Ohio.
No, his T-shirt probably says Female Body Inspector FBI.
Ugh. The other thing is, what was I going to say? Oh, I never believe these people anyway. So when they say they're going to sell their virginity, I think that I don't believe them that they're...
Back out at the last second?
I don't believe it. I don't believe that they're virgins. Oh, well. I just don't believe it. Like, why? Like, and if you go to this article, you'll notice that she's got all these Instagram pics of her being the half lingerie, naked.
The lingerie twisty behind the back photo.
Yeah,
selfie
I don't buy it.
Thing.
And that makes me worried for her even more, because if it turns out this is fraudulent and she gets to some hotel with some weirdo that we don't, some unnamed strange guy who spends $3 million for weird shit like this, I think it's just all going to go south. But whatever. Be careful is all I'm saying. You have a dad or a mom somewhere that's worried about you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't imagine her parents are proud.
Oh, I'm guessing they're
so,
I'm sure they're super into this, man.
Yeah. Did they get a cut? I mean, you kind of feel like... All right, guys. Selling my virginity on the internet. How about I give you guys 60%? Are we good? Yeah. Are we good?
You okay with that, Dad? Pay off the house. You know, no more no more mortgage. How's that land on you?
Look the other way.
Hey, Australia, you know that Bodie McBoatface yes. boat? That wasn't Australia, that was Britain. But Australia has rejected Bodie McBoatface as name for a new ferry and instead has chosen Ferry McFerryface.
Of course. Why not?
The Bodie McBoatface
name. Any relation?
They're not related except that, you know, the name was already used. So the Sydney Ciders. What is that? Most popular name the nominated Sydney by Sydney. Ciders. Is that what you call people who live in Sydney?
No, I don't think so.
What does that mean?
Sydney Ciders. Hold on.
I think it is.
I'm thinking, here we go, Sydney Ciders. A native or inhabitant of Sydney. Holy crap. That's a horrible name. Why would you want to be a Sydney Cider?
What else would you be called? Like a Sydney?
Sydneyan. Yeah.
Well, they call us Salt Lakers. What do they call you guys? You get anything like that? Like
we're, you know, Denver. Coloradoans or Coloradans.
What do you get for cities, though? Like, what about Denver? What do you get for that?
Denverite. I think Denverite.
Yeah.
Arvadon's an easy one. It ends with a name. Yep. Bang. Yep. Throw an N on there. Boom.
Yeah, that's why we're Utahns. Well, it's an H. Utahns. But, yeah. But we're called Utahns. Some people want to call us other things.
But they smell bad on the outside.
That was my tauntaun.
That was your tauntaun. That was a very good tauntaun. Thank you didn't even have to tell me that was your tauntaun because I identified it.
Oh, good. Well done. Anyway, they want to name it this other boat, so they're going to do that. It's not much of a story, really.
Ferry McFerryface.
They're getting in on the fun. That's what's happening there. And finally,
every time one of these comes up, it feels like the etymology of the name comes from Chandler, doesn't it? Like
a little bit.
Wasn't there something? Somebody on Friends said something at one point, calling somebody else a whiny McWhiny Pants or something like that.
I can see that.
Maybe it wasn't the first version of it, but it sounds like the first time I ever heard it.
Definitely sounds like a Chandlerism to me.
It does, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you're from Los Angeles, you are a
Los Angelino.
Oh, is that what they call you?
Yeah, they're Los Angelinos.
Okay. So New Yorker's New Yorker.
Sure.
Los Angelino. If you come from Phoenix... Phoenix, you are a...
You're a Phoenices.
Phoenices. You're a Phoenix.
A Phoenix.
Yeah, you're a limp, limp Phoenix Phoenix.
Phoenixes. That's what they are, as we learned yesterday. They're Phoenixes.
Chat room's still talking about people selling their virginity. It's the best.
Actually, there's somebody selling it right there in the chat room.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah, PayPal, just, you know, Venmo. What do you need?
Gary, formerly of Lantronics. Okay.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm sure he's held on.
He's not
that.
Even in here today. That's twice I've besmirched the name of Gary, and he doesn't deserve it.
I saw Gary briefly on at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
On
Guildhall, right?
Yeah, that was later, but I guess we saw him a little bit on like Tuesday or Wednesday. He'd walked all the way from Disneyland to come see how long it would take for him to do that, and it took like 30
minutes.
I've
done that before.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
No.
But he was, he was there. He had stuff to say. It's always good to see Gary.
It is. He's a good guy.
Formerly of Lantronics.
And I'm glad he's doing well at Disney.
Yeah, aren't we all, though? High schoolers have simulated a Nazi human experiment for a science fair. Parents, what are you doing? What are you doing? These are Brazilian high school students. They simulated medical experiments that Nazis conducted on concentration camp prisoners during the Holocaust. The students at Milissimo da Silva High School in Rio de Janeiro. Were recently assigned to recreate a Nazi laboratory for a science fair, according to the Brazil-Israelite Confederations. That's a paper. Have you been there, Brian?
No, I've never been to. The only paper I've been to outside of the U.S. was the Toronto Sun.
Nice. The country's umbrella Jewish group paper thing. The purpose of the exhibition was to highlight the supposed scientific progress made by Nazi doctors working on concentration camps or in them. Photos posted on Facebook show a red banner hung in the school with swastikas and white letters saying Nazi laboratory. In the darkened fake blood stained lab, students played doctors wearing medical uniforms and swastika armbands. Others pretended to be suffering patients. The Rio State Department of Education reportedly has opened an investigation to determine whether the school promoted Nazism, which is punishable up to 5 years in prison and a fine.
Wow.
Man, imagine if that
as a thing we were doing, we might have had that Charlottesville thing would have lasted a lot less time or something. Anyway, don't be a Nazi in freaking Rio de Janeiro, I guess.
I'm not. It may not be the popular opinion. I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I mean, I think that students who are trying to get a better realization of what happened with the Holocaust, I don't see that as a bad thing, right? Because, you know, you get so far from an event like that, and it's hard to perceive the weight that it held.
Well, they claim here, and I shouldn't say they claim, this Israelite Confederation umbrella Jewish group thing says the purpose of the exposition was to highlight the supposed scientific progress made by Nazi doctors. If that was their purpose, that's weird. It was to point out the straight up facts of what happened there, I think that's different.
Yeah,
but also dressing up like Nazis is probably taking it too far. But again, these are high school students, so they're kind of dumb.
Nazi stuff belongs in, like, you know, all right, let's recreate history to help our students learn a little bit more about this, you know, and get it from a personal perspective. The science fair is probably not the place for your Nazi recreation.
Yeah. Did you guys have what's it called? Shoot. My friend Mark would know what this is called. But in our high school, we were famous for, we had this wrestling coach who was also a teacher in this class, and I forgot the name of the class. But basically it was a totalitarian class. Mm-hmm. And the way it worked was for, like, I forgot how long it would, it felt like months, maybe it wasn't that long, but it felt like about 2 months, they would establish a totalitarian rule system from this class. We wore armbands. They weren't swastikas, but they were like some other symbol. And we had leaders who would be chosen by the teacher, and those leaders would enforce horrible rules. Like if you saw one of each other in the hallway, you had to make them recite the something they had to say, or they had to stop and do push-ups, or...
Oh, wow.
Like, all of this, like, super totalitarian, like, fascist stuff. And you had to live by those rules or you'd get demoted in the quote-unquote society of the class. And it had to go all the time, not just during class, like, all during the day and all during the weekend. You had to wear that armband. You had to live by whatever rules that your class, particular class subsection was living under. And if anyone caught you not doing those rules... you'd be demoted. Like, they tried to create what that would be like.
I like that because you see it, because the students are experiencing it on both sides, both being the oppressors and the oppressees.
Right.
And I think that's actually kind of a good thing.
Right. It was great. Like, I learned more out of that class. I mean, it taught me a lot. I found it really disturbing and weird. And you would really humiliate people. Like, we had somebody who was the big leader, like the top leader, and somebody caught them eating candy, or some rule that we had established, you can't have candy in school.
Sure.
And in front of class, they defrocked them of their barm band. They took them in front of the class, made them kneel in front of everybody.
Wow.
And everyone shouted at them and shouted them down to humiliate them. I mean, nothing physical ever happened, but
of course, yeah. But
it was like supposed to kind of, you know, simulate some of that. And it worked, man. It was effective.
I'll bet it did, yeah.
It's probably why I get so mad about that kind of shit.
Well, yeah, but again, I'm sure not just the kids who were on the receiving end of that kind of learned what the experience was like. I bet the kids who had to do that, like, were forced to be the disciplinarians, felt really crappy about doing it, even though it was all fake.
Yeah, know? This class was like celebrated for this. Like, the teacher would be asked to come speak at like college gatherings and like. Talk to like state representatives about the success they were having with it. Like, it was a big deal. It wasn't just some teacher's rogue idea. Like, it was a big planned thing. And he was also a really good wrestling coach. So there's that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy and her Therapy Thursday attempt today, which will be interesting. We got an email that I think will be fun to deal with.
Cool.
And after that, other things. So we'll get to all that in a minute. But before that, Brian brought music.
Yes. Oh, this is great. You're going to love this. Brand new band. Well, I don't know about brand new band, but brand new album coming out from a band called Thrill Killer. They are from the East Coast of the U.S. They're touring all over the place. Go check them out, like Baltimore area, so the Northeast. You can also find them online at thrillkiller.net. This is rock with a bunch of funk thrown in for good measure. The brand new album is called San Francisco Moto. And I probably will be playing, I might actually play next week another song from this album, probably the title track, because I had a hard time deciding between two songs. And so we're going to do a couple. Passion Killer is what we're going to be hearing today. Again, Thrill Killer, check them out at thrillkiller.net. From the new album, San Francisco Moto, here is Passion Killer.
Out in the distance rides a deadly art of stone. The winds of judgment blow an ecocentric code.
Guys, hey, listen, I've been talking about these guys for a long time now, and I'm so excited to keep talking about them. LinkedIn Learning, now featuring lynda.com, the leader of online learning for the past 20 years. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, creators, and people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to take better photos, overcome procrastination, redesign your website. Everything you need to accomplish is right there on LinkedIn Learning. If you use any Adobe software, I use much of their software. I have a CC subscription. And have to kind of keep up on everything, right? They have the most comprehensive selection of courses on Photoshop, Illustrator, After Effects, and a whole lot more. Some good stuff in Premiere in there as well. Improve everything from photo editing to vector graphics to 3D animation, and they work very closely with developers like Adobe to publish new courses the moment a new version is released. So brand new changes in the CC release, boom, LinkedIn Learning's on it. They also offer dozens of weekly series, including graphic design tips and tricks and motion graphics weekly. Learn at your own pace. Use whatever method you prefer. Explore course recommendations curated just for you. If you're one of these art nerds like me, you're going to need this stuff. You can even get transcripts for each video. So if you need to read along it's going too fast for you or something. I know people like that. That's they've thought of you. You can get transcripts. That's pretty awesome, too. No hidden upsells, no hidden charges, access to all the courses you want, all of it for one monthly price, and it's available worldwide, no matter what your device. And we got a special deal for you today. You can get a free 30-day trial by visiting LinkedIn Learning. And you do that by going to linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. And that'll get you a 30-day trial for free. Go check them out. LinkedIn Learning at linkedin.com/TMS. linkedin.com/TMS. That URL once again, linkedin.com/TMS.
Haunted by mildew stains and soap scum, terminate them with Tilex Instant Mildew Stain Remover. Spray Tilex on mildew stains and they vanish with no scrubbing. Spray Tilex on soap scum, then wipe it out of existence. Terminate mildew stains and soap scum with Tilex.
Ah, don't do that!
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen. This is the Morning Stream.
We're back, everybody. Welcome back and hello.
Hello.
Hope you're all well. Hope you enjoyed that song. I know I did.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, when have we had a bad song? How about this one?
If something goes wrong and your burger's not right, there's no need to get uptight. If the dry bird's broken or incomplete, that baby turns into chili meat.
Ugh.
Chili meat.
Got someone on Twitter just said,
If the burger's moldy or smells like feet, we're going to turn that into chili meat.
He says, where is it? I can't find it now. There's a really good thing on Twitter just now. He says, your wiener, something about a wiener obsession. Oh, Robin Jensen says, I have no problem with Wendy's using imperfect burgers to make their chili. Sorry, but it just doesn't bug me. My part is not that the imperfect meat patty is used. My problem is it's thrown into a vat that then sits there all day, and then they make the next batch of chili out of it. That's what grosses me out. It isn't the meat itself.
Right.
Just to
right.
clear that up. Let's get Wendy in.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do here. Speaking of Wendy,
spelled differently, and she doesn't have red pigtails.
Yeah, and she doesn't say put the old meat in a pot and make chili out of it. That I can promise you. All right, let's see. Let's get her in here. I'm sure this is gonna work, isn't it? Yeah, it will work.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Wendy. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. It's just great to talk to you. And everyone I know doesn't live by me anymore. My wife's on a cruise with her sister, and you're in Sweden, and mom's doing some weird thing with John. I don't know what's going on over there. They got some trippy thing going. So everyone, it feels like everybody's gone. Yeah, it's just me and the kids. It's like,
yeah, are you all right? Are you eating?
Yeah, not well.
Yeah. Oh, Wendy, ask him what he's been eating.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
What have you been eating?
Bad food. I haven't been very good. Yeah. Today I'm going to be better. Today's the day. On day five, on day five of Kim's absence, I will finally turn a corner and eat properly. I don't know. It's been hard.
Scott's meals this week have all included the phrase, would you like fries with that?
Yeah, she's right. Or he's right. No. Sometimes it says, do you want a churro for an extra dollar? But
or a supersize.
Generally speaking, right. that is the case. So it's good to have you here, as always. I hope things are going well on your end of the world. Wendy's, she's my sister. She comes on here, does Therapy Thursdays. We talk about somebody, usually, like an email from someone or some such like that, and today's no different. In fact, today's came, and it just, I don't know, for whatever reason, felt like the perfect thing for us today, so I guess we'll find out
if
this is perfect or not. So I'll just read it. Here it is. Hi, Scott. Not really sure how to start this email. I've been a listener for a very long time to many of your podcasts. I'm also a therapist. I really enjoyed Wendy's segments. She's helped me find different approaches with my clients that are helpful to them. I look up to her and think she's awesome. Well, there you go, Wendy. Jeez.
Woo!
Yeah, that's nice. pretty hardcore. My son was recently as last Tuesday, diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. He's 16 years old. That's a bad one, I believe. I've heard about this one before. On top of that, my 18-year-old daughter, who was diagnosed and survived the same disease when she was almost three. So far, we have a perfect leukemia batting average. as these are our only two children. Setting aside the dark humor, I am obviously feeling shocked, angry, scared, sad. The list goes on. My emotions are a roller coaster. I'm in the final stretch of obtaining my full licensure. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Does anyone like know? Finishing up all the hours so you can be fully licensed.
Oh, got it. All right. So I can work now in public mental health, which means seeing 7 to 8 clients a day, 5 days a week. Here's my question. How can I stay available and in an appropriate therapeutic mindset when my only son's life is in danger? I only saw 2 clients today, and it was exhausting. While I think about, I think they benefited from the sessions, I just broke down and cried afterward. I would love to hear Wendy's suggestions. You don't have to read this next part, and I won't. But anyway, it says some nice things about her BlizzCon visit and so on. Sincerely, N, we'll call them. So this is somebody who you probably can relate to in terms of, you know, the rigors they're going through to get fully licensed and to be a working therapist and so on. But it also feels like this stark reminder that y'all are people and y'all have your own life challenges and issues. And sometimes it's so clinical in our minds, like people who go to see somebody for help like this, we think they've got it all together, but maybe not so much. And by that, I mean, they have their own, you know, they have their own horrible life challenges, their own, you know, their own griefs, their own whatever. So what do you do? What do you say? How do you deal with it?
I'm piggybacking on what you started to say or what you're referring to, and that is there's a need for this person not to be anything but okay and have it together. Mm-hmm. Because think about a friend. When you go to a friend to talk through something, you don't pick the friend whose life is totally chaotic. You don't pick the friend who, right. You know, has the exact problem you do, but worse. You're going to pick somebody. And I think sometimes we struggle to find some people in our lives that we know too much, right? We know too much of their weaknesses or their challenges. So we're not sure we trust their opinion about a certain thing or whatever, right? So when we go to a therapist, I think the idea is like, first of all, it's a stranger. I just need to basically like them and they need to listen to me and be helpful, but I don't really want to know anything about them. And you're not even maybe conscious of that. And that's okay. That's actually part of the reason it's helpful. Is
you're coming from an impartial. Can't make it about you. Yeah, you're supposed to be an impartial listener, someone who doesn't have all the baggage of knowing you personally or you know being related to you or whatever. It's the reason why Wendy's not a therapist. Well, I think sometimes some people in the family may use her for this, but you know, generally speaking, you're not mom's therapist, you're not Misha's therapist, you're not my therapist. You're our sister who does therapy for people who don't know her, like we know you, right?
Right. And then sometimes I accidentally do therapy. I mean, that really does happen. I'm not intentionally doing it. But then all of a sudden I'll notice my voice has changed and I'm asking way too many questions and I'll say, okay, I gotta stop. Ugh.
Sure.
Or I say, is it okay? And everyone's like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sure.
Anyway. Yeah. No, it's, and let me say a couple things about the kind of work he is doing. This is not like, okay, think of any industry. Pick the hardest job in that industry. That's what this guy is doing therapy wise. He has picked community mental health. Let me give you an example of what that is. That is, you've probably passed one of these buildings going through your day, usually near a DMV. Just kidding. I always feel like they're next to DMVs. I'm not sure if that's right. But
wow,
just
DMV
kind of,
shaming. Wow, I can't believe it's come to that.
I like it.
No, but it reminds me, the buildings somehow remind me of each other, but just sort of, you know, the funding sources for these community centers is probably tax-based and so low in America anyway. And you don't get paid much and like he said, it's 8 to 9 clients. That's back-to-back clients all day long, every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me just say, I could never do it. Never.
Typically like an hour-long session, basically, is that?
Yeah. Mm. And we're not talking like 8 to 9 people who are like, oh, I need to find a boyfriend. Can you help me? It's more like
right, yeah.
Serious abuse and traumatized histories and drug use and psychiatric disorders and, you know, abuse. I mean, it is the hardest work. Mm. So minus anything going on in his personal life, how does someone who does that work take care of themselves? I have a couple ideas, but let me just say, hats off. I mean, if he thinks I'm any good at what I do, let me sit in his chair for 2 days and I would crack. There's no way. I couldn't do it.
It sounds super hardcore. I don't know how people do it either. I don't know how you know, because knowing what the topics are, it isn't just, I feel unappreciated at work. It's not things like that. It's things like, my uncle killed a guy in front of my four grandkids. Now they're growing up and they're showing signs of criminal behavior, or it's worse. It's sex stuff or it's whatever. Like, I don't know how you do eight of those a day. Good gosh.
Yeah. So I did some of my training in a community mental health place, but it was, I saw the kids, and I'm not to say that's any easier, but it was just daunting and very, it's exhausting emotionally. And when you do good work, you're going to be exhausted. So he's describing, here is this sort of his own personal stuff he has to push aside and two clients, and he does good work and then he's bawling. And the answer is, yeah, of course you are. Yeah, absolutely. If you didn't, then you're a robot and there's other problems we need to address, right? So what's so hard is like to validate the humanity of what he is doing and what this must be like to go through, but then still somehow do his job is pretty tricky. Mm. So at that agency I worked at, there was a woman there and she was incredibly bubbly. And I kept thinking, everyone here seems so unhappy, but you're so bubbly. What is your secret? And her secret was that she would twice a year go down to St. George, and it's called the Red Rock Spa, something like that.
Yeah, Red Mountain. I thought it was Red Rock. Kim went there once. Sarah, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red Mountain Spa, whatever. So she'd go for a week and just get fed, pampered, do yoga 200 hours a day. Like, just that was her way to survive. And she was also able to get her schedule at four 10-hour days instead of five, and that seemed to really help. But now also imagine 10-hour days.
Wow. 10 hours solid. Yeah, that's I think that adds its own new problems.
Was she totally. Doing
and
was
then
she
you're just
doing
praying
the same
for people to no show, like, please don't come.
Was she doing the same work you were doing, like that's similar?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was doing training, so my hours were a lot less, but hers was her full-time gig, and it was with kids who'd been abused and high-risk foster care situations, and I mean, I don't know, it's amazing. Okay, so let's just take that for a minute, and we'll get to his family's dynamic in a second, but just, like, be incredibly careful with yourself, with your marriage. I think it takes a toll on all your relationships if you can't figure out how to sort of care for yourself. So finding things that really rejuvenate you. One thing, and all of us therapists, we tell everyone to meditate and practice mindfulness, and then we're like crappy about it ourselves because, you know, we got to get up and do something or whatever. Just like everyone, we have reasons why we don't take that time.
Sure.
But that is a very powerful practice, and we know it because we see our clients do it. And maybe in community mental health, that's so not even on the table because you're just working to stabilize people, let alone, you know, optimize. And so, you know, he may not have a ton of firsthand experience with that, but personally doing it is huge. So I'm going to recommend a website and an app. I have recommended this before, but I am now using it all the time and I really love it. And it's calm.com.
Calm.com. Yeah. I use it all the time. I used to use their app until they changed their, They used to have this really awesome like $10 a year subscription thing where you could get tons of like new trippy backgrounds and the music and all that and the walkthroughs. And then they changed it to be, I don't know what it was, like 10 a month or something, or some weird change. And I thought, well, I'm grandfathered in. I'll get the old one. And then they just canceled it. I was like, oh, shoot. All right. Well, I'm not so calm now. But anyway, it's a nice.
Right.
Really,
you're not calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's $60 a year, or you can pay monthly and then you pay more.
Yeah.
And I would be lying if I said Adam and I didn't share one, but we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, it has sleep stories that are amazing. And if you have problems sleeping, it should be helpful. I don't have problems sleeping, so I hear two sentences and I pass out. I mean, they are.
Scott might want to look into that instead of watching Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. I'm not kidding. Their voices and the stories are incredible, and it's just the most soothing. Oh, my gosh.
That's cool.
They have sleep stories, then they have meditation practices that have all sorts of themes, like, you know, gratitude and focus. And so I'm currently doing the one on focus, and I'm like, man, I have a problem with focus. Who doesn't, right? Mm. So here's the kind of the gist of it. And I'm bringing this up just to say kind of the idea of ultimately where he wants to get, which is being able to create some mental space between what he's doing every day. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a protective barrier, because this is going to happen naturally. He's going to start to build some walls, because you have to survive this. You can't just take in everyone's pain and then take your pain and put it over in a jar. And then at the end of the day, have to open up your jar and deal with your own pain. I either he needs a leave of absence, and I know it's America, so that's not an option, but right. It's some kind of way to really, maybe he needs to talk to the boss and just say, hey, this is happening. Can I do 5 clients a day instead of 8? Can I, you know, there's some way to self-care, because one thing therapists, especially in the community health sort of arena, are notably or notoriously terrible at is taking care of themselves. That is my laundry beeping.
Oh, is that what that
okay,
is?
Okay, I was wondering. I took off my headphones to see, because I hear it going 3s, and I'm like, is that coming from here? Holy crap. And so I take my headphones off alarm. After I hear the first one.
I just realized as we started, like, I didn't
shut your dryer's done.
So loud. Anyway, so yeah, finding ways, like seeking out, there it is again, seeking out assistance from, you know, talking to his boss and saying, hey, during this time, because this is going to be really hard, right? He still needs to work, I assume. He probably gets his health insurance through that. There's no choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet, is there a way to negotiate with your boss, a way to create a little buffer in his work day, maybe, or, you know, maybe the hours, maybe there's one day a week. He can, I don't know, to really think through what's going to benefit his family. Mm. And then getting back to the calm thing is having some kind of ritual. Meditation is a great one. It could be yoga. It could be boxing, something that he does on a regular basis that is calming / physical / rejuvenating, that is mandatory, as if it's food, that he has to do it. Because the easiest thing to do is do everything for your kid and your family, then go to work and give everything to all those people and burn yourself out, and then you're no good for anybody. Yeah. So finding something that does it for him. And he may be listening thinking, I really love kickboxing and I haven't done it in a long time. Yes, that's it. Go do that. Yeah. And make sure it is regular. Make sure you find your tribe at your kickboxing class. You tell them what's happening, and you get support, which is kind of a bigger picture thing, which is your kid needs his team, which is probably you and your wife, and then his sister and friends and neighbors and family and whoever else is in your group of support. But you also need your own version of that, maybe that are a little removed. So it could be even coworkers. It could be, you know, the guys you go bowling with, whatever, whoever it might be, where you can also be fully sad or I don't want to talk about with them, whatever, but that you have some separate support in place, because you should have that anyway, regardless of the kid thing. So all the basic stuff really need to be there if you're going to be working in community mental health to really figure out how to take care of yourself. And then, you know, on top of the obviously having a child be ill and all that, I mean, he knows what this is about. He's been through this treatment before, and he knows, you know, so there's no illusion, right? I think for a lot of people, the first time going through something like this, they kind of don't know and get knocked off their feet, probably. And in his case, he knows the worst of it. So
it's probably obviously there's some probably genetic thing at play here, but it feels like lightning striking twice in the worst possible way. And I can't imagine what that must feel like. Like, it's one thing when somebody has to deal with something hard in their lives, whatever it ends up being. You know, I'm trying to think of good examples. Well, Tina with her cancer, the hope is that there's never a return and it never comes back and there's any of those things. But when people get to a thing and it's super hard and then they get through it,
and then only to have it and then it happens again,
to another kid. Mm-hmm. Like, this just sounds. Like, one thing impressed me about the email, and I think this is worth mentioning, and Wendy, you can tell me if it matters or not, but it feels like it does. He's got a little bit of a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
He probably listens to us because he thinks we're funny, for whatever unknown reason he thinks we're funny. And so he knows what it means to have, you know, to look at something with a little bit of levity and to kind of laugh a little bit. and even here to say that, you know, he's basically double dipping or whatever. And, you know, there's something about that deprecation that feels healthy for me when I do it. And I wonder if that's, if you see also that as a good thing, or is that a way that we tend to hide our emotions? Like, I bet there's extremes to both.
Right. I mean, there's a spectrum of that, right? You can be using humor to sort of not face reality. But I agree with you. I think his email at least shows a healthy dose of it. And he also needs that to do the work that he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to, if you can't laugh at some of the crazy stuff you're going to see at some point, then you're going to be in big trouble because crazy stuff walks in the door. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got to, I mean, and that's a very natural, great asset to sort of rely on. And that's kind of my point about making sure you're support system is on call, right? Because you're going to need someone to laugh. You're going to need that friend who isn't just so sad they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. So most therapists don't have what I'm about to describe, and you have to kind of work to find this, but you got to find the people who don't need you as their friend/therapist, who are happy to hear about your trials and problems and struggles, and are strong enough to handle it. Because that's usually your job. Your job is to be the, oh, come to me and tell me what's wrong. And it's really hard to reverse that. Mm. And so I know personally, I have a number of friends where it is, and it's a handful that I can go to them and say, I had the worst day ever. I can't handle any of, you know, my life or, you know, whatever. And then they can laugh with me and they can talk with me about it. And it doesn't have to be about that they need me to be strong. They're okay with whatever I bring. Mm-hmm. And that's really important that he makes sure he has that going on in his personal private life. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously finding out what he and his wife can do to make sure that they are also strong for each other. I mean, again, they've been through this together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is one of the hardest. I mean, the divorce rates of parents who have a child who's ill is higher than any other rate. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I know it's high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that kind of stress and that the communication that requires and the taking turns caring for each other and it's crazy. So he just really needs to, as much as he can, just like bubble wrap his life. And with his job, the only thing I can think of is because it's just a choice of either shutting down to do his work or figuring out the way to manage it. So maybe it's every other hour is a session. In those other hours, he has some other thing he can do or changing his, I don't know, there's got to be a way. And I'm guessing at a community mental health, they're just thrilled to have him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like.
Like he sounds awesome. And I'm sure they're just like, he's the greatest. So to say, listen, this is a temporary time. And, you know, it's probably a couple years worth, right, of treatment and care. And hopefully all turns out well. But that does mean I'm going to give you what I can when I can, but figuring out a way to sort of navigate that, I think would be really
well to put a bow on this. I have one final question, and it would be this: is there value to him getting his own therapist? You know what I mean? Like straight up doing the clinical thing, but from his perspective, you always see this in movies or that. What was that TV show on HBO, Brian? That
in treatment. In treatment, yeah, I thought of the same thing.
Yeah, it was fascinating because that actor,
Gabriel Byrne, and
he's a therapist all day for people with all these hard problems, but then he's got Diane Wiest he goes to as his therapist, his mentor or whatever, and gets real therapy from her. Is that a thing you see a lot, and can that be a place for him to, you know, literally
absolutely
get clinical help?
In most clinical settings, agencies, you have, I mean, he's currently being supervised because he doesn't have all his accreditation. Right. So he has someone who is over him, who he meets with on a regular basis. This is just my two cents on this. And I think officially everyone would be like, no, but I think it's really hard to go to your supervisor who then gets to sign off whether you get a license or not and be super open and real about everything.
Yeah.
Well, right? Sure. Like, I hate that my client. I mean, you do. It's helpful if you're more real, of course. And if it's a good supervisor, they would help elicit some of that. Mm-hmm. So he already has a supervisor. So he may have a great relationship with that person. And that's a great place for him to get support and help and work through some of his stuff. Because that's absolutely a therapeutic issue. If I am trying to work with a client, but I can't even pay attention to what they're saying because I'm so lost in my own stuff, then I'm never going to be effective. So that stuff needs to be dealt with. So that's what you do in treatment. So most therapists should have their own therapist. If not for supervisory things, just to deal with hard stuff that comes up, or sometimes just for camaraderie. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Camaradership?
Sure. Yeah. Collaboration. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
And just like I have a coworker often you don't. It's 2 minutes in the waiting room. You see each other at most, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can sort of work cases together and figure out what to do next, et cetera. But then your own, you know, work, you would have your own therapist. So absolutely, I think that's a great idea.
All right. Well, I think this person's in, I mean, you know, I feel terrible for them. But I feel like he seems like he's got the energy to find his way through it. Hopefully he can do that as a team with his wife, and that his son's going to be okay. I cannot imagine having a 16-year-old who is at the sparkly 16-year-old age of getting a car and I'm going to prom and check it out and I'm playing football. And like all the fun, cool things about being 16, getting sidetracked because of this sucks. And this happens to so totally many people. Does. So we feel for you, man, and we hope for the best. Let us know how things go.
Well, and when I read the email, I teared up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't even read his email and, like, be not – how is he supposed to do therapy, right?
Right.
Like,
well, you see the real deal about what he has to deal with it on a work level in a way that we can't even. So for us, it's just like, oh, this horrible thing going on at home. But you see the other side, which is – yeah, plus he talked to 8 molested kids today. That went well. I'll go home and deal with the cancer thing that we're dealing with. Like,
yeah. and completely keep that out of my mind. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know, it seems insurmountable, but it sounds like he's, I mean, obviously he seems like he's gonna make the best of it. Do you have your, that thing you keep saying you're going to tell us about, do you have that ready to tell us about it yet?
No, I'm not ready. That's like your Christmas present.
Oh, it's like your Christmas thing.
Oh,
okay.
I do have something to pimp.
Okay, pimp it.
So on Tuesday night, I was on the Phileas Club with Patrick.
Oh, I have heard nothing but raves about this episode. Wow. People are flipping out about this episode. Yeah,
because it was awesome, and it was me and three other awesome women. Awesome, all four of us were awesome.
Yeah,
and Patrick, and we just talked about being women. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Like it's 2 hours and 20 minutes, so like get some water.
Tuck in.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. It was really great. So I would recommend that to anyone who has 2.5 hours to kill and wants to hear some crazy stories about life as an average person.
Yeah, and no better time than now, which, you know, obviously part of the reason Patrick made that panel together. But that show's already great for all the things it covers. I hear this is excellent. I need to listen to it myself. You can find it at frenchspin.com. And that is the latest episode up there. And it's, I mean, like tweets all week going, oh my gosh, dude, the latest Phillies Club with your sister was so good.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, people are flipping out. So
it was really fun. And I'll tell you, it was so delightful to be with all women.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen in podcasts very often, you know?
No, and the dudes are great. They've always been really sweet, but they're always interrupting each other. And the women, we were just like, oh no, you go ahead. We were so stinking polite and like, at the end, we all just wanted to hug and be friends. It was so fun.
That's
all women, including the French one with the deep voice.
Yeah,
French with the deep voice. And let me say this about Patrick. He was impressive. He was completely like open and vulnerable. And there's moments where you're like, what just happened? Because Patrick admitted this thing. And this other lady was like, what? And then, you know, I calmed everyone down. It was fun.
No, that's cool.
No, but he really was brave. I was really proud of him.
That's cool.
He's awesome that way. We all love Patrick for lots of reasons, not just his scarves, it turns out. It's also the food preparation. Anyway, thank you so much, Wendy. Of course, Wendy Dunford on Instagram, if you want to follow her photos goings-ons over there in Sweden. And I also agree, Pete for president. You'll know what I mean if you go look at her Instagram.
Oh, he's so cute and crazy.
Cutest kid ever. I am crazy, but cute. What else? That's it. Wendy, have a fantastic
week. And then next week is Thanksgiving, right? So no show.
Yeah, no show next week. That's right.
Oh, yeah, no show.
Yeah,
right.
There'll be no show next Thursday, and you won't be here. But happy Thanksgiving.
And tune in to my Instagram after next Saturday, because we're doing a Thanksgiving here.
Mm.
with two Americans. Yep. One's a Sufi Muslim. Mm-hmm. The other one's an atheist.
Okay.
And then a British family, a New Zealand family, and then a couple of straggler Swedes. And I'm going to teach them all how to play football. So let's hope no one dies.
Oh, that's awesome. It's the, wow, the thing I miss. One of the things I miss most about Wendy's family not being in the States anymore is that we play touch football every Thanksgiving in the morning as a general tradition, and no one's doing that now. You left and they all went, meh, Wendy's not.
I'm literally the one that drove it every time.
Every time. No, you're right.
And, yeah.
You're right. And here I am. Here I am out, saying about how much I miss it, but you don't see me like rallying everybody for teams. So yeah, anyway, that'll be good to see. So check that out, everybody. It's Wendy Dunford, a.k.a. my sister. Take it easy. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, you too.
And we'll see you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye now. See ya.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. And holy
look
cow,
at what I did, Brian. I kept it all in a time.
You totally did. And even with me trying to derail and like throw it, Scott, you've had this problem too, haven't you? What about you, Scott?
Yeah, no, it worked out real good. So very happy with done. That. All right. A reminder that TMS PM is still a thing, but it happens on Fridays now at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time. So it's after the instance tomorrow and on every Friday at that time. So come on back and join us for 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time for TMS PM tomorrow. That's Friday. Let's see. That's it. To go to our website, frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything are there. Everything you could possibly want and know and do and have and be are right there at frogpants.com/TMS. We would be remiss if we left you today without another song. Brian, take it away.
Well, I don't want to be remiss. Oh. That'd feel horrible if I was remiss. Yeah. So, okay, we'll be miss.
Miss. Yeah.
This is a request by Jonathan. Greetings, Poop Jokes and Brian. Ooh. TMS got me through school, and now I'm embarking on an IT career. It can be stressful, but listening to TMS every day helps me maintain some sanity. I may be saying this wrong. TMS got me through school. Now I'm embarking on an IT career. IT can be stressful, but listening to TMS every day helps me maintain some sanity.
Ah, very nice.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That and coffee. You guys have been such an encouragement and an inspiration to me. Thanks for being awesome podcasting badasses.
Whoa, jeez, thank you so much.
Keena Grannis is one of my favorite musicians, and I love this cover so much, so I'd love to hear it on the show. Feel free to play it for me, Jonathan. Happy to do it, dude. And this is cool. This is Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise from the, what was it, Dangerous Minds was the movie? Yeah, with yeah, that was the movie, mm-hmm, with that song.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that existed as a movie, but you're right. That's totally right.
Right. It came from that. Well, I was thinking the Stevie Wonder. There was a whole big controversy about this song because it couldn't win a Grammy because it contained sampling from the original Stevie Wonder song called Pastime Paradise. Mm. And if you haven't heard that, it'll blow your mind. If you've only ever heard Gangsta's Paradise, after we're done here, go on YouTube and look up Pastime Paradise by Stevie Wonder, and you'll be like, oh, wow, okay, this is 90% of the song with just Coolio talking over it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, here you go. It is Gangsta's Paradise, covered by Keena Grannis, and right here.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
I have nothing else to say about
that. It's a good ending. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 1:30 TMS PM. Be here. We'll see you then.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left, cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Maybe treat her like a punk, you know it's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking, where you're walking, and you and your homies might be lying in chalk. Well, I really hate to trip, but I gotta look. As a croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G that all the homies wanna be. They come on knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. Been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise. Been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise. Now why are we so blind to see that the ones we've hurt are you and me? I guess situation that got me facing. I can live a normal life. I was raised by the streets. I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. I got my tan in my head and the gleam in my eye. I'm a locked out gangster, set tripping banger. My homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life, live or die. What can I say? 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know. Tell me, why are we so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you and me now? Why are we so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you and me? Power and money. Power, minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running. Half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen, but I don't know what's cooking. And say I gotta learn, but nobody's here to teach me. They can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. My life is out of luck, fool. Been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise. Been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise. Now why are we so blind to see that the ones we've hurt are you and me? Now why are we so blind to see that the ones we've hurt are you?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Menstruation.